Hebrews chapter number 1. Somebody's horn is going off. Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to read through chapter 1 down to chapter 2 and verse 1. Of course, you're reminded that this is why we know that the Lord loves coffee. Amen? Amen. So you all know that joke, right? Hebrews. Caffeinated, not decaffeinated. Well, I got a smile out of y'all. Boy, some of you look like I was facing the lions here this morning. And you must all be Patriot fans. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring that up. All right, Hebrews chapter number 1. Let's read down through the chapter. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art My Son, this day have I begotten Thee? And again, I'll be to Him a Father, and He shall be to Me a Son. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, And let all the angels of God worship Him. Now the angels, He saith, who maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even Thy God, hath anointed Thee with the oil of gladness above Thy fellows. And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands. They shall perish, but Thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But Thou art the same, and Thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said He at any time, Sit on My right hand until I make Thine enemies Thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Then would you just read this last verse out loud, verse 1 of chapter 2, together? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let's pray. Lord, we ask Your blessing now upon the preaching of Your word. Please use me to bring this message in such a way that it'll touch our hearts, it'll draw each of us closer to You. And I do pray, Lord, this morning, if there was someone here that has never received Christ as their Savior, that today, Holy Spirit, You'd move on their hearts and help them to understand their need of a Savior. Help them to understand their sinful condition. Help them to understand that there's a God in heaven who loves them, who cares for them, who sent His Son Jesus Christ to die and pay for their sin on the cross. And today, by faith, they claim Jesus as their Savior. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to draw your attention to verse 8, because that's really the theme to my message here this morning. But unto the Son, He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. As I was reading this chapter, reading through the book of Hebrews during the month of January, I'm going to read through it several times. But that verse just stuck out forever and ever. And today, it is the last in this series of messages, "The King Has Come," that Pastor Ethan and I have been preaching through. But the title, you could see, is "The Forever King." Forever and ever. By the way, the word "forever" is found 380 times in the Bible. So I would imagine if the Lord put "forever" 380 times in the Bible, He wants us to think about it. Amen? And so that's the message this morning. Forever and ever. But I also thought about this. It's 2020. And with time, things change. Many of you can remember when we went from 1999 to the year 2000, it was a big deal because everyone expected the computers to stop running. Remember Y2K? I still have my generator from Y2K. And up where I am, it comes in pretty handy, actually. In Reedsboro, we lose power two or three times a year. I think, Russ, you probably still have rice in your basement from Y2K. And it never happened. The whole government in New York State was in a bunker because they thought that everything was coming to an end. And they told everybody to unplug their computers and all of that kind of stuff. But things change, don't they? And life changes. Life changes. You get older. I was skiing with my girls on Thursday. And now I will say, they didn't get out till an hour after I got out. So I got there very early and got in five runs before they got out on to ski. But I had to admit, they're fast skiers. By the second run with them, I couldn't keep up with them any longer. My legs just gave out. I said, I caught up with them, but I couldn't keep up with them. But things changed. Some things that were around, that did not exist in the year 2000. There were no smartphones in the year 2000. None of these were around just 20 years ago. There was no social media, no Facebook. That's probably a good thing. No Twitter accounts 20 years ago. No text messages. My daughter just sent me a text message. There were no Apple products 20 years ago. No TV streaming like Netflix and Hulu and all of that stuff. No audio streaming, Spotify, Pandora. None of that existed 20 years ago. It's all part of the culture today. No FaceTiming 20 years ago. I remember as a little boy going to the World's Fair in New York City, and they said one day you would be able to call somebody and see their face. And now you can do that. But it didn't exist 20 years ago. Change. Change. Google Maps. Boy, if you knew Google Maps were coming and you had money invested in a company that put out paper maps, you'd want to get your money out of that company pretty quick. Now, I loved my Rand McNally road map. They still have them for old people like me. Wikipedia. Now I use our old encyclopedias for target practice in the backyard. It's true. Didn't exist. And things that have disappeared in 20 years or are disappearing change. There's no more Radio Shack. It's gone. Different companies have gone bankrupt. Nobody makes collect calls any longer because everybody has a phone. Do you remember that if you're my age? Mr. Bell, you have a collect call coming in from, and depending if you like them or not, you would accept the call. No more photo albums. They're open the album and you look back. Now it's all right in here. Things change. I mean, they're still around, but you know what I'm saying. They're going the way of the dinosaur. Things change. Slide projectors. When my mother-in-law passed away last year, there were some things left, and Shelley's dad, her biological dad, who died when she was just a little baby girl, he had gone to a trip out west, and he had stacks of, you know, remember the slide projectors? You'd put them in there, and you put them in the machine. And so we took the slide projector. They had a slide projector and all of these, and it was really, really neat for Shelley because she could see her dad and all of the places that he had been on this trip. They didn't exist any longer. Change. Change happens. But as I read through chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews, there are six things that I put on here that will be forever and ever. Some things that will never change. And I want to preach to you about those this morning. Oh, here's another thing I thought. Do you remember, if you're my age, 8-track cassettes? 8 tracks? Jim Thompson can remember cranking the thing. Just kidding, Jim. 45s, long play. I had to tell my kids the other day, my mother-in-law also had an old stereo that Shelley wanted us to take this thing home. And they had all these old records. And we got that. You know, remember, it was a console, you know, bigger than the pulpit here. And the record player, the stereo was in it, and the speakers. And we still have it. It's in Lydia's room. I don't know why it's there, but we got it to play one record. And it was Alvin and the Chipmunks singing Christmas carols. And then it died. That's why. Wow. But things change. But I notice here in the book of Hebrews that there are some things, praise the Lord, that will never change. So let's look at these on your handout. Verse number 1, I just start with God. God. Look on your handout the verse that I put for you out of Psalms 102. The Bible says this of God: of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and a vesture shalt thou change them. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years have no end. One of the six things, the first thing that you can count on never changing is God Himself. Amen? God is unchanging. Listen, before the foundations of the earth were ever created, God existed. He is the everlasting one. That's always kind of hard for me to comprehend. You ever just kind of sit and think about that? That before the earth was ever created, God existed. The scriptures teach us, we read it, the Lord spoke the worlds into existence. That's the creation account found in the book of Genesis. But before that, God existed. It's really one of the great mysteries to me. What was taken, and we're reminded that with God, God is timeless. That's why in the scriptures it says, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. It's just reminding us that God isn't limited by time like you and I are limited by time. One day when we get to heaven, we'll no longer be limited by time either. This world, one day this world will come to an end. The Bible says that. The Bible says that one day there will be a new heaven and there will be a new earth. So even this world in which we live in is on a time frame. But God existed before, during, and forever. So while all the world is changing around us, God will never change. He's unchanging. He's eternal. He is, as Isaiah said, He is the everlasting Father. It's something, when we think about these things, that you and I, it's a certainty. It's an anchor. It's what we can found. It's the foundation of our lives to be reminded of that. Thou art the same, the psalmist said, and thy years shall have no end. But then I noticed this. Look at the second part of verse 1 and then verse 2. It deals with God's word. God, who at sundry, that word just means various times, and diverse different ways, diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So the writer of Hebrews, he's looking back into the Old Testament. He's thinking of the books of Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, right on down through the book of Malachi, and how God used different prophets to speak His word, and these words were recorded. We're reminded that the word of God, it wasn't written at one time. From the time the first book of the Bible was written to the time the last book, Revelation, was written was a period of about 1,600 years. and that God used 40 different men to write the Word of God. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to pen these words. And the writer of Hebrews says, He hath appointed, spoken unto us by His Son, that the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. That God's Word, it was God's Word that spoke the world into existence. It is God's Word that was delivered to the prophets. It's God's Word that's delivered to us. But we're reminded that the Word of God will be here forever and forever and forever. It is unchanging. It was said some time ago by a very well-known preacher in our country. I remember him saying this probably over 20 years ago. And what he said was true, didn't change. He said this, he said that the Bible is supposed to change the culture is not supposed to change the Bible. And so when we think about that, and we're reminded here on your handout of Isaiah, Isaiah wrote these words 600 years before Jesus walked upon the planet. The Bible says, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Forever. And so if that's the case, then the truths of God's Word, they stand forever. I've mentioned this before in messages that I've preached. I have Bible commentaries from the 1600s, the 1700s, the 1800s, the 1900s, and in the last century. Well, that is the 1900s, the last century. Anyhow, the point of that is this. If you read Bible commentators from the 16th century and the 17th, what you'll find is a commonality as they write on the Scriptures. Because the truths don't change. What was true in the 1600s with regards to the Word of God was true in the year 2020. And so if that's the case, then the truths are unchanging. The morals of the Bible, they don't change with time. The culture and the morals and what we identify as right and wrong as a culture may change. But if the Bible says they're wrong, they're wrong. If the Bible says they're right, they're right. Because that's the Word of God. The history of the Bible is unchanging. The power of God's Word doesn't change. The purpose of God's Word doesn't change. God has promised to preserve His Word from generation to generation. The psalmist said this, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from generation to generation to generation." Every generation, God has preserved His Word for them. And interestingly enough, throughout history, men have tried to eradicate, stamp out, and do away with the Bible. It's often been said it is the most beloved book, and at the same time, it's the most hated book. In many cultures, in many lands, it's against the law to own a Bible. And yet we're so blessed here, many of us, we don't just own one Bible, we own several Bibles. In a real twist of irony, during the French Revolution, a French philosopher, an atheist by the name of Voltaire, he said this. He said that 100 years after my death, the Bible will be a museum piece. Won't even be around any longer. Well, the irony is this. 100 years after he died, the French Bible Society was using his house as its headquarters. Not only God will be here forever and forever, but the Word of God will be here forever and forever and forever. And then as we look in verses 2 and 3, we're reminded here of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, again in verse 2, in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, the expressed image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verses 10 and 12. It speaks of this as well. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as the garment. Verse 12, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. They shall be changed. But thou, verse 12, thou art the same. Thou art the same, he said here. And thy years shall not fail. Look on your hand up in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Would you read this verse out loud with me? Let's begin. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In John chapter 8, Jesus was having a debate with the religious crowd of his day. And he had just said these words. He had said in John chapter 8, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And the Pharisees, they said, what do you mean free? He says, we are of our father Abraham. And it was when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. What do you mean? They said, you're not even 50 years old. And Jesus was speaking of the fact that long before he was born in a manger in Bethlehem, he existed. He is called in the book of Daniel the Ancient of Days. So he existed with his heavenly Father previous even to the... He was there at the creation of the earth. He spoke the worlds into existence. But Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, he's the same today. He'll be the same forever and forever. He's unchangeable. It's the immutability, of the Lord. And if he was changing, how could we depend upon him? If he was changing, how could we and what would we expect tomorrow? In fact, just flip over in your Bible. Look at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. Hebrews 6, verse 17. The Bible says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. In other words, that word immutability, it means he doesn't change. He doesn't change. That by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, but contrary to the very nature of God to lie, because he's a holy God. He's an unchanging God. That we might have strong consolation, verse 18, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Go back to Hebrews chapter 1. So why do we can find refuge and we find hope in our God? Because he's an unchanging God. Why do we find hope in God's Word? Because God's Word, it's unchanging. It's the same. It's not like the grass that withereth. God's promised it is here forever and forever. We place our faith and trust in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection. That in and of itself is what and how we receive. And it brings us to the next point, the forgiveness of our sins. Look at chapter 3, or verse 3, the second part of it here, where it says, speaking of Christ, by himself he purged our sins. And he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Not only is God, God's Word, and God's Son unchanging, but if you've received Christ as your Savior, your forgiveness is unchanging. It's not as if God can take it back. He's forgiven you. The Scriptures say in Isaiah 43:25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. That verse is an image from an accounting book. Of course, accounting books have kind of changed too. Not too many of those around any longer. Everything's done on the computer. But in the old accounting ledgers, you had an accounting ledger and you owned a debt, let's say $1,000, and you paid $50, down to 950, you paid 100, down to 850, and so on. At the end, they would take it and just erase it. The debt's been erased. Well, that's what Jesus has done for you and me when we receive Him as our Savior. Amen? Our sins have been erased. The old hymn writer said, the old account is settled. It's done. It's gone. Forever. And you and I, as we walk through this world, and when we've accepted Christ as our Savior, doesn't mean we're going to live a perfect, sinless life. But we're reminded that when we receive Christ, He has not only died and paid for the sins that we've already committed, but He has died and paid for the sins that we will commit. The difference now is, as a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God lives and dwells inside of us. And so now, because we understand how much God loved us, how He sent His Son to die and pay for our sin, how we asked Him to be our Savior, now our life changes. Now we can't earn our way to heaven. Jesus has done that for us. But now, out of an act of love, out of an act of appreciation, to the best of our ability, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, we live for the Lord. We look at His Word. It's unchanging. We live by His Word. We live through prayer. God's forgiveness, it's unchanging. And I love it in this verse where it says, by Himself purged our sins. It was Christ that purged your sin. It was Christ that purged my sin. I can't purge my own sin. I can't be religious enough, and you can't be religious enough to purge your sin, to wipe it clean. The debt is just too high. The debt is too great. But the sinless one, Jesus Christ, the one who took our sin and placed Him upon Himself, the only man who ever lived, the God-man, Jesus Christ, who lived for 33 years and never sinned, He is the only one that could pay it for our sin. The Lamb of God, the Word of God, the Light of God. He died and paid for our sin. And so He purged our sin. And then we see this in verses 4 through 7. The superiority of God. It's unchanging. Look at verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels. I'm just going to stop there for a minute. That phrase, better, and so much better, is found repeatedly in the book of Hebrews. Much of the book of Hebrews is dealing with the fact that Jesus is better. The Bible says He's better. Here these next few verses are reminding us that as great and as powerful as the angels are, Jesus is better. If we were to read and check out some of the other scriptures, it reminds us, in Hebrews, there is a better hope. There is a better resurrection. There is a better covenant. There is a better testament. There are better promises. The word better is used in all of these verses. There are better sacrifices. We look for a better country, because there is nothing better than Jesus Christ Himself. He's superior. That's why the Bible says that one day, even those that reject Christ, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord. Revelation says, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb, forever and ever. Well, for all of eternity, He'll receive the praise and the worship that He so deserves. He's more than worthy of our worship. His superiority. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. And then as we read on, let's just continue to read a little ways through here. So verse 5. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten Thee? Well, the answer to that would be none. And again, I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to me a Son. Well, the only one that was said of was Jesus. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, and let the angels of God worship Him. We just got through the Christmas season, all through the account, the birth of our Savior, the angels appearing to the shepherds, the angel appearing to Joseph and to Mary, and the angels rejoicing, the great multitude of angels. The Bible says the angels are the numbers of angels are innumerable, beyond our comprehension. But He's better. He's better. Verse 8, "But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even Thy God, hath anointed Thee with the oil of gladness above Thy fellows." It leads us to the sixth and last point. There is a forever kingdom coming one day. Actually, that kingdom exists today. I shouldn't say one day. But it will exist in its full manifestation in the future. If you're born again this morning, you're part of the kingdom of God. That's what I mean by it exists today. But Isaiah said this of Jesus: "Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon His kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Can't you look forward to a time where there'll be a kingdom and there'll be a rule that there's no corruption? Won't be any need for politicians. I'll take care of a lot of the corruption right there. No crime. No poverty. No oppression. No sickness. No death. No disappointments. But a glad day. A holy day. A righteous day. A joyful time. That's a day, I use the word day, that is a day without end. You ever have a day that things are going so, it's just a great day and you wish it just didn't end? Like, I had to be honest with you, on Thursday it was a beautiful day to ski. If I was a little bit younger, I would have skied longer, but it wasn't the day that ended, it was my legs that ended. It's just a beautiful day. There's a time coming that day will go on forever and forever and forever and forever. Some of our friends and family are already there, amen? They've gone to be with the Lord. It's a glad day. It's a glad day. Timothy wrote this, I think it's on your handout. "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen. And that's why I went to chapter 2 and verse 1, and I conclude with these remarks. If this is true, and I believe it is, and I know that you do too, that God is a forever God, that God's Word is forever, that God's Son is forever, that God's forgiveness is forever, His superiority is forever, and His kingdom is forever, therefore, that's what the therefore is there for. Whenever you see a therefore in the Bible, it brings you back to the previous chapter. Therefore, because of these things, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That little word slip, it's a picture in the Greek of like a rowboat tied to a dock, and the rope comes loose, and the tide brings the rowboat out to sea. It's a reminder that you and I, we need to stay anchored to the Lord Jesus Christ. To give heed to these things, to the Scriptures, to the Word of God, and all these things that we've mentioned here this morning. Because we worship and we serve the forever King. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. As we conclude the service this morning, Listen, if you've already received Christ as your Savior, you might just take a moment as we start the year 2020 out by just spending some time during this invitation talking to the Lord. Lord, help me not to let these things slip. Help for them to be important in my life. Because you are the forever King. And maybe just take a moment of thanks and praise and thanksgiving. But maybe you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior. You've never trusted in Him. Jesus came to purge our sin. You have to put your trust in what He did for you. No one ever had their sins purged by attending church or being baptized or taking communion. Those are all important and good things. But your sins are purged. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. When Jesus died on the cross, He was purging sin. Your part and my part in it is to accept that by faith, to believe that. And in your heart, between you and the Lord, to say, Lord, I do believe, Jesus, that You died and You paid for my sin. I do believe that I'm a sinner. And I ask You to be my Savior and to pay for my sin. Today I put my trust in You and what You did for me. Today I put my trust in You and what You did for me. That's what it means to be born again. And if you've never done that, I encourage you right now, right where you sit, if God has spoken to your heart about that, to just talk to Him. Confess this to Him and accept Him as your Savior. Lord, thank You again for this new year that You've given us. Just help us to live for You, to learn from You, to be led by You in all that we say and all that we do. Bless now this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.